there really is a great change in your life, and you're such a blessing and such a witness to the power of God. Because God has given us this Holy Spirit, this power, the power to change, the power to walk in the authority and the fullness of joy that God wants us to live and move in, to be his sons and daughters before him. You know, Jesus Christ laid down his life. You know, this gospel concerning Jesus Christ, this good news that not only did Jesus Christ was crucified, he laid down his life, but God raised him from the dead and sat him at his own right hand side. And then God sent our Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost so that we could really live in the same power. And we was going through a lot of these things today, me and Becky, as we were going for our one-on-one. But I just want to read you this, just to remind you. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19 says, "And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principalities, power, might, dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all." Chapter 2, verse 1, "And you have he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." We've been quickened, where in times past we walked according to the courses of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, Satan, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had our conversation or behavior in times past, in the lust of our flesh, filling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, but our heavenly Father, Jehovah, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, where he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, by God's favor. He done all the work. There's nothing that we could do to be saved apart from belief. And God has already done the work in Christ and has raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We are sat right now at the right-hand side of God in Christ Jesus. At the right-hand side of God, there's joys, there's pleasures forevermore, there's authority, there's power, and there's rest. You know, so right now, if you really want to walk and stand, you have to rest. We have to enter into that rest of God, and that means that we are dependent upon God. We are allowing God to work in us. We're allowing God to arrange the open doors, God to arrange the situations where we minister healing, where we minister deliverance, where he brings us before those that are hungry, and he brings the hungry before us. Our job is to speak forth what he puts in our hearts, right? So we're not doing anything from our own effort, our own strength, our own ability, but we are moving at the direction of God. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And I was going through 2 Corinthians chapter 5 with Becky, and in verse 17 of 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ," well, you are in Christ. If you've got the Spirit of God, you are in Christ. It's not that you've got to renew your mind to be in Christ, like we were taught previously. You are in Christ, right? Because you have the Spirit of God. We can confirm that in Romans chapter 8. It says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature or creation. Old things are passed away. That old nature passed away. Behold, all things have become new." We have a new man in us. It's Christ in us, the hope of glory. And we're complete in Christ, who is the head of that body. We are as he is in this world. We're the point of contact on this earth to bring God's message to the people, like Jesus Christ was when God sent him. And it says, "All things are of God, who have reconciled us to himself." So God done the reconciling to himself by Jesus Christ, and have given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Those men were broken away from God. And to be joined back together, we now preach the good news concerning Jesus Christ and God's love for us. And that each person, if they confess Jesus as their Lord and believe in their heart that God raised him from the dead, they receive the Spirit of God. They receive the Spirit of Christ in them, the hope of glory. And now they are an heir of God. They are a joint heir with Jesus Christ. And it says to know that God was in Christ. Recognize God was in Christ. How is it God in Christ in us? God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. Who was doing the work? God, but by Jesus Christ. Now it's God by us. Not counting their trespasses unto them, and have committed unto us the word of reconciliation. So we got this ministry and word of reconciliation. The ministry that Jesus Christ operated in, we now have, with all the authority and all the backup of the heavenlies from God, that power of God to move in signs, miracles and wonders, to bring deliverance, to raise the dead, to heal the sick, to cleanse the lepers. And it says, now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. See, God beseeches people by us when we open our mouth and we speak those words that God gives us to give, those words which are spirit and life. It says, we pray you in Christ said, be reconciled to God. Paul's encouraging people to go to God. Our job is to encourage people to go to God, to use that connection that they now have, that direct access to their Heavenly Father. And my job is to connect people to God, not to me. They may come to me for a one-on-one, but my job is to speak forth what God inspires and energizes in me, same as your job is to do the same. So we direct people to look only to God, to take their burdens to God, to take their problems to God, to take their desires to God, to ask God for his vision, his direction. And when people start to go to God, then they start to walk in this freedom and this power and this liberty which is theirs in Christ. And it says, for he, verse 21, hath made him, Jesus, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we may be made the righteousness of God in him. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You are as righteous as God, because that's what God says in Christ, right? So you have great authority, like Happy was speaking about. So what you say goes, if you believe it, if you know it. And we got to know who we are. We got to know what Christ accomplished. We got to know what we've got inside of us. And once we start to learn that, then we just operate in that. So when we speak forth these words to those that are humble, they receive the words gladly and they go and share that with other people. And God is directing that. And then people are added to the church daily, such as should be saved. Everything is directed by the Heavenly Father. It's not done by our knowledge of what we know, but it's understanding that what we know is that we have a direct access and connection to the Heavenly Father, and that we can encourage people that they can go to God now they've got that Spirit of God dwelling in them, and that they're under no condemnation, no longer. They're not under the law of sin and death, but under the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, that they are an heir of God. Everything God has is theirs. They're a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Everything that he's inherited, so have we. We have a great inheritance, right? And so how we receive all these things into our life is as we walk with God, as we look to him, we bring the spiritual into the physical through our words and through our actions. And the sound doctrine is very important. If we're teaching people they got to do this, they got to do that, they got to do this, they got to take this class, that class, then these people end up just becoming full of knowledge. Paul said, I didn't come to you with knowledge of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit of God and in power. He was walking in those signs, miracles, and wonders. He was healing people. He was preaching forth the things that God was putting in his heart. Because everything that we read in the church epistles written by Paul, they weren't written down at the time he was doing them. God was working in him. God was working in the people that were with him, those other wonderful apostles and believers. So really, we are to encourage people to go to God. And there's wonderful things in the scripture that we learn, like we learn about speaking in tongues. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. In Psalms, it says, forget not all God's benefits. So with the manifestation of the Spirit, we know that we receive that gift of Holy Spirit, and we've broken those things down in the scripture. Okay, we got the worship manifestations, the revelation manifestations, the impartation manifestations, right? But they work as one. We work as one. And if we're going to teach anyone anything about speaking in tongues, the best thing we can teach them to get them activated and moving is just do it. Just speak in tongues. You're going to see the benefit. You're going to see the profit of speaking in tongues. You're going to see the profit of interpreting tongues. You're going to see the profit of bringing forth a word of prophecy. You'll definitely see the profit when God is leading you and giving you a word of knowledge, word of wisdom, and discern the spirits, and you're walking in the other man, the power manifestations. So this Spirit of God just operates as one, and we're just to be led by him. So God doesn't want us to analyze everything. He wants us to have an understanding that this Spirit he's given to us has manifestations which are profitable, which brings deliverance, that we can walk in that Spirit, that we're to walk in the Spirit, we're to speak by the Spirit, we're to be led by the Spirit, we're to be inspired by the Holy Spirit. Everything comes from God. One of the questions that Becky asked me today, like, what is grace? So we know that grace is God's unmerited divine favor to man. But grace in its simplest terms is that God does the work. God does the work. We're in his rest. We're not trying to make anything happen in and of ourselves. But we are humble to God to receive what he's showing us and what he's working in us and what we're hearing by the people that are encouraging us, and that we put it into operation. We apply those things that are going to be beneficial, like this confession. You know, this great confession that we got, that we can say what God says, that we call those things which are not as though they were, that we don't say our circumstances, we don't say the problems, we don't even pray the problems. If something is on your heart, you can leave it to God. Father, you know these problems. I give them to you, and I thank you that you got the answers, you got the solution, you got the direction, and I'm resting in you. Now you do the work, God. I'm coming to you, and my dependency is on you. And even though within myself I feel that I need to do something, I'm going to wait for your direction. I'm going to wait for your leading, for your prompting. And this is what God wants us to do. God wants us to depend upon him. He wants us to rest in him. He wants us to understand that we have a direct access, connection to him, and that we can go boldly to the throne of grace to find mercy and help in the time of need, that we find that grace that we need, that he's going to do the things that we possibly can't do in our own strength, effort, or ability. You know, God redeems our life from destruction, and he crowns it with loving kindness. We can't save ourselves from our own destruction. We don't even know what's going to come up. But God knows in his great wisdom, foresight, and foreknowledge. He knows. So he's redeemed your life from destruction. He's crowned you with loving kindness so that you can enjoy this life that he's given you here upon earth. And we're those ambassadors, like an ambassador from England to France or to USA. If I was an ambassador for my country, then I would have all those rights and privileges in another country if I was there, right? Well, our citizenship is in heaven, right? Our real citizenship is the heavenly one with God. So everything that's in the heaven is ours, and we are here on this earth, and we've got all the rights and privileges of heaven if we only realize it, if we see what God has done for us. And that we don't get sidetracked by what we hear, see, smell, taste, and touch, or by somebody else's knowledge, but we realize that we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We also talked about ruling and reigning. That was another question by Becky. And I was just saying, like, you know, a king, he has a kingdom. and he rules over that kingdom. He say to this servant, go, and the servant goes. He say to this servant, come. Here set the laws and the regulations for everything, the taxes, everything. He calls the shots. And we can do that in our realm. In our realm that we live in, we're to rule and reign in this life by one Jesus Christ. And we can, because we've been enabled by God through that Spirit of God and what Jesus Christ has accomplished. And the way that we bring the heavenly to the physical is through our actions, as God is showing us. And through the words that we speak, knowing who we are. When you know who you are, when you truly know who you are in Christ, when you know what God's accomplished for you, that everything is done, that it is finished, it is completed, that we are complete in Christ, then we can enter into his rest. Now we can sit from that right hand, that heavenly congress, like Stangate was sharing, that we call the shots. We make the decisions. And it works. It's true. It works. I'm practicing this and I see it work all the time for me. And God is no respecter of persons, but he that reverences God and works righteousness with God, then God will do the same what he does for me, he'll do for you. You know, some people, you know, I remember when Becky was first coming to our one-on-ones and other people, they said, well, I want what you got. I said, well, are you willing to do what I'm doing? And I'm just dedicated to God. I'm willing to practice the things that I'm being encouraged. I'm willing to stay with God daily, not get sidetracked by the world and the things in this world. You know, the scriptures say we're not to love this world, neither the things that are in this world. But our love is for the Father and for his word to move throughout all the earth. You know, Jesus Christ's purpose when he came was to reconcile men and women back to God. And that's our purpose now as born again children of God. But we can also enjoy this great life. Jesus enjoyed his life. You know, there was challenges, but he enjoyed it. He overcome every challenge. No one could take his life from him. He had to give it up. He had to lay it down. That's the authority that he had. That's the authority that you've got. So we just don't accept the lie. We don't consent to Satan's lies so that he can come in and cut us short. And God wants us to be very bold in our declaration of our love for him, our declaration about our wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and what he's accomplished, our declaration in speaking forth these heavenly words. Obviously, there's a lot of opposition because people think that you've got to stick to the scriptures every single second. And we don't see that in the Lord, in the life of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We don't even see it in the life of Paul, even though he was a Pharisee of the Pharisee. What he revealed was new revelation from God to him about the mystery, about Christ and you and Jews and Gentiles being of the same body. And so all these things, this wonderful mystery that was revealed to Paul and all the great things that he spoke, it was by revelation. Paul could, the people around Paul said, well, you're off your head. What you're talking, you need to go back to the Torah. You need to go back to the Old Testament law. But he walked by the Spirit too. And Jesus would refer, he knew the scriptures. We know the scriptures. He would refer to scriptures like the Sermon on the Mount. You know, and he would go further than what the scriptures would also say. And he would just totally blow the minds of the people with him. And he could do that because God was giving him his wisdom. God was giving him his revelation. And his words were spirit and life. And when we are led by the Spirit of God, our words are spirit and life. So you rule and reign in your domain, where you live, where you go, what you do, who you hang out with, your finances, your relationships, your fellowships. You rule and reign as that one because you're submitted to God. We also spoke about humility. Becky asked me the difference between humbleness and meekness, and there's a big difference. Humbleness is a need for God. You know, when we go in life and we're going in our own strength, we think we've got it all together and then a crisis happens, what do? We become humble because, oh, I can't solve this problem. What's going on? And we turn to God and we pray to God. That's a state of humbleness, a need for God. Meekness is receiving the words that are being spoken and encouraged to you and doing it. So meekness isn't weakness. Meekness is strength. To receive these words that are being spoken on here tonight, and to do them is strength. It's not weakness. It's not like, well, you know, that Lawrence don't know what he's talking about, that Jason doesn't know what he's talking about. Becky doesn't know what she's talking about. That's not humility. That's proudness. And God resists the proud and giveth grace unto the what? Humble, right? So we want to be in that place where we're humble, that we listen, we can discern the words that are being spoken because we have the Spirit of God in us and we have the scriptures also, right? So God hasn't left us ignorant or uninformed, but God is energizing you and he's working in you. And if we want to see great things happen in our personal life, in our family life, in our relationships, in our dealings, in our workplaces, in our money, in everything that we're doing, then we need to use that wisdom of God. And God is working in you and he's showing you. So all of our walk with God is very practical. And when we go to God for his wisdom, you know, wisdom is knowledge applied, right? So God gives us his wisdom, how to do the things, how to behave, how to respond. And when we're looking to him and we're praying to him, like, Father, what do I do in this situation? He shows us what to do. And the more we practice this way, the more we start to hear the voice of God, the more we just respond like automatically because we recognize the voice of the Father. You know, we know our shepherd's voice. We don't hear a voice of a stranger. We recognize when someone is saying that's not from God. And we recognize when God is showing us because it's gentle, easy, peaceable, easy to be entreated. It's full of, you know, good fruits and it's very edifying. So our words should always edify, always encourage, always inspire people onto a more worthy endeavor. And there's no effort from our part apart from resting in God, doing the things that he gives us to do, keeping to the things that we know. Like, don't change the things that have been working for you. If God has given you a revelation of something, and you began to practice it and it's working, why would you change it? Why don't you just let the momentum, the snowball effect happen? You know, you start off with a little snowball and you roll it down a hill and it picks up momentum and it's picking up more pace and it's picking up more snow and that little ball turned into a massive ball, right? So God says get into his momentum. Don't break the momentum. So like the speaking in tongues, don't break the momentum. When you wake up, speak in tongues. Say what God says, those confessions, what he puts in your heart, what he's energizing you. I practice this when I wake up, when I go to bed and through the day, as I'm inspired. If I may not feel so good, then I'm thinking, I know this is not the real me. The real me is a happy me. The real me is the joyful me. I have joy in rejoicing. You know, because I have this heavenly life. I got the greatest in the heavens, the earth, as my Father, who is watching over my life, who is watching over his words to perform it. And if I come into agreement with what he's saying, then he's going to perform the thing that he says he's going to do. And my gosh, he is faithful. Our heavenly Father is so faithful. And there's so many voices out there. You know, there's so many voices out in that wilderness saying, this is the way, walk in it. This is the way, walk in it. This is the way, walk in it. And then people start walking in all these different directions, all these different doctrines, and they end up back at the same point if it isn't led by God. I know I've been down them for so many times, but I can tell you since I've come back from India again, over 2 years, I'm hotter than I've ever been. And I haven't gone anywhere. Usually I would travel to this country, that country. There's a big waiting list for it to get our passports at the moment, so I got to renew mine. But at this moment in time, I'm in a better position than I've ever been. And all I've done is stayed with God. I stayed practicing the things that I've been encouraged. I speak in tongues. I honor God. And I speak by the Spirit. I allow God to work in me. I go to the scriptures as God shows me and leads me. I look up different things as he shows me and guides me. And then I've been blessed to have people connect and where I've been able to listen to them and rely upon God to give me those perfect words for them. And every time I do these one-on-ones with people, they're really encouraged. And I know it's not me. I know it's God giving me his wisdom, speaking by my mouth. And you can do the same thing. But the whole point of me saying what I began at the beginning is that, you know, our focus, what is our focus? What is our goal? What is God's desire for us is to Be those men and women that reconcile people back to God by preaching the good news of Jesus Christ. This good news is the power of God unto salvation. All these wonderful words that are being spoken on this meeting through everyone that has shared so far is showing you who you are and what you truly are and what you truly can do. You are not you no more. No, Danny and Amber are not Danny and Amber Tor. They're Danny and Amber Christ. Sakina is Sakina Christ. Kathy is Kathy Christ. Becky is Becky Christ. Siri is Becky Christ. Carl Morton is Carl Morton Christ. Madeline and Michael are Madeline Michael Christ. Frank is Frank Christ. Shelley is and Ted are Shelley and Ted Christ. That's who we are as he is. That's our second name, right? So like, you know, God looks at you and he sees his son. And that Christ is being revealed through us. That Christ is, you know, coming through those, the layers of this old nature. That's the remnants of the old man, that old programming that we picked up along the journey of our life. And God's just blasting that out, you know, mortifying these things that have held us back. The things that have sidetracked us, the things that have slowed us down, the emotions, you know, your emotions, you know, you can wake up and feel real, you know, turn up inside, and emotions start from a fall. You know, fear of the future, fear of how this is going to be done, fear of how am I going to accomplish this? But we got to remember, emotions start with a fall. So you can change how you feel by the change in your thinking, right? Changing what you're saying, remembering who you are. Declare who you are in Christ. So you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You got direct access to the Heavenly Father. You are an heir of God. You are a joint heir with Jesus Christ. You are redeemed. You are healed. You are wealthy. You are prosperous. These are the words that need to be coming out of our mouth. Not, oh, we're struggling to pay this or we're struggling to pay that. That might be the 5 cent circumstances, but the words that we got to start declaring is, okay, this is paid. God has got the solution for that. God has got the provision for this. And Father, I've honored you. I've done what you've said, Father, and I believe what you said. And you said that you watch over your word to perform it, to make it come to pass. And I know that you will. I know that you're faithful. I know that you never let me down, God. And so this is the mind and the heart. And we practice this every day. Every day is a new day. And we're growing in strength. We are going from strength to strength to strength. And it's just stirring up that gift of God within you. You know, and you do it by way of remembrance. Where you were, where you are now. And God has brought us along this wonderful journey of life with him. And, you know, and we have great authority and you can cast out devils. You can heal the sick. You can raise the dead. You can cleanse the lepers. You can heal all manner of diseases. You can multiply bread. You can turn the water to wine. It's been done. This has been replicated. You know, we've heard wonderful testimonies over the years of these things in India, you know, where people have turn up and they didn't have enough food for everyone. And when they went to serve it, it just kept coming and coming and coming and coming. Just like the widow woman with her oil. And you fed Elijah and the lady that had all these pots and pans. She only had a little bit of oil, but it kept filling all these pots and pans up. Listen, what God is not a respecter of persons. He's a faith God. And faith is the title that I put us sharing on yesterday. It was a sharing, actually, when I was just replying to someone else, but I put it on as a sharing. But faith is the title D. You know, faith says that this is mine already. All the promises of God are yes in Christ and amen. It's already yours. And so we see it like that. We speak it like that. Like Becky says, she's calling the things that they're already done. Even though it hasn't shown up yet, she's calling it is done. And when we live that way, that's walking by faith. And so God wants you to be very encouraged, very blessed, remembering what this is all about. Yes, fellowship together. We're not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. We're not arguing over doctrine. There's no division. Christ is not divided. We're all seated. The whole body of Christ is seated at the right hand side of God. Right? on the earth, it might be divided because of doctrine and because of traditional ways. And we have to do it this way. We have to do it this way. And this draws people off. It siphons people off from the truth. But it's the truth that sets you free. And the truth is that you have the Spirit of God dwelling in you. And God is able to direct you. God is able to supply you the words, like he's able to supply you your health and your healing and your finances and your provision and the peace in your heart. He's provided everything in Christ. And that's who we truly are. We are well taken care of people. Our God is not a child abuser. He's El Shaddai. He's not El Cheapo. He loves us and he wants us to enjoy this great abundance that he's given us. And we receive it by faith. We operate in the things that God shows us to do. And we operate and be led by the Spirit of God. And so I've been practicing this way, and my God has not let me down. These 2 years since I come back from India have been life-changing for me. And I'm learning so much. I've had people walk away. I've had new people come and connect. But see, the thing is, when someone walks away from me, it's not on me. That's on God. It's not on me. I'm doing what my Heavenly Father says for me to do. So gotta work it out with them. But for me, my job is to, my business is to do my Father's business. And, you know, when Jesus said, you know, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you can't have any part with me. Everyone left him. Then he turned to the disciples and said, you're going to go also? This is where we're going to go. You've got the words of life. Well, people are going to say that about you too. Where are we going to go? You know, you've got the words of life. I'm going to stay connected. You know, you've helped me with my walk with God, and I'm going to God. Now I'm strong like you. And so I'm thankful for my teacher. And I give great praise and glory to God and my Lord Jesus Christ for the minister that he's put in my life. And my connection is with that person, Sangha. And he's really encouraged me. He's never told me what to do. He's never said, oh, you're this, you're that. He's always encouraged me to go to God, to turn to God in every situation. And he's really built me up. Now I'm in that same position where I'm building others up. And I'm so thankful to God because I know in myself I cannot do that. And so, but every one of you should desire to be that person for someone else that you can really reach out. You can have your own fellowship. How the word of God is moving in India is because they encourage people. Now you start your fellowship. And when they go and start their fellowship, then those people encourage other people that are rising up, that are connecting. Now you go and start your fellowship. It might be difficult to start your fellowship. You might look at your circumstances and think, well, my circumstances just need to change drastically. But you know what? If you go to God, he can change that for you. You just need to begin. As you step out with God, then he takes care of all those needs. So we can put the blocks in our own way because we say, well, I can't do the fellowship because of this day and that day, or when this happens this day. Make time for God. Put him first like he's put you first. And if you've got a desire to do this, and we all should have that desire in us, you know, because we are all leaders. We have got, you know, we might have different functions and all this stuff, but we can all lead. We've all got Christ in us. And God says, now you begin. You just begin. Don't worry about how everything's going to happen. Just begin. You need a starting point. Like Elijah said to the woman, he said, just go and make me a cake, right? And bring me a drink and everything's going to be fine. She had to take that step. That was the first call of action, was to go and make that cake and bring some to Elijah. And then God, what did God do? What Elijah said he was going to do. He was going to sustain the meal and the oil for her, which he did, because our God is faithful. And just like the little bit of oil that widow woman had, and she went to Elijah, and Elijah said, okay, go and borrow all the pots and pans and just pour. And so she poured, and she filled up all those pots and pans that she borrowed, and she was able to pay back her creditors, and she lived off the rest. This is our God. He's a God of abundance. He doesn't just meet your need, right? Like Kathy was saying to me the other day, you know, people in the world get their needs met, right? And she's right. People in the world that are unbelievers get their needs met. God is a God of abundance. He not only meets your need, but he gives you abundance so that you can give and that you can be a blessing. And because God has made you, he's already blessed you with all spiritual blessings. You're already blessed to be a blessing. It's just understanding that. And when we understand that, then we can walk in that way. So that's what was in my heart.